Thank you, Michael. There is a, it's very interesting when we come together and we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We really are celebrating that which sets us apart from everything. I've heard several messages this week on the radio. They're always very informative, very challenging, but really nothing new. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, because the resurrection, we could say the resurrection is the hinge upon which everything hangs in the Christian life. If you took the Christian life and you made it like a building and it would be a superstructure, it is the foundation of everything that superstructure sets on. Because if the resurrection of Jesus Christ had not taken place, life would be completely in vain. That's what it is. As a matter of fact, if we want to compare all the religions of the world, they still worship at the tomb, that tomb is full of their leaders' dead men's bones, because they, as a matter of fact, some even embalm them or mummify them and put them on display. And so it's just a dead leader. The Lord Jesus Christ was not stolen from the tomb and hid somewhere. He was not just unconscious and woke up and got away. He died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead the third day. It's just that simple. Amen? And he was seen by infallible proofs, and soon after that he ascended back to heaven. And one day, he's coming back. And that is absolutely incredible thought, too. Amen? Almost as incredible as the resurrection. But still, I mean, here he is dead and alive. Now, when we read about the facts, and I just find it very interesting, as you look at all the different things that surround the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, it's absolutely astounding. Because what you have is so many different reactions. And you have so many different people involved. And what you get the opportunity to see a lot of times is their personalities in all this. Because if we're not careful, we read all this and we go, oh, that's just so nice. But it was a real life event that happened in the lives of these people. We read about it. And if it would be, it would help us greatly if we would just take a little bit of time and look at their lives. And that's what I want to look at here a little bit, as we look at the people involved. Now, we're not going to name them. We're going to look at them in groups. And so what we see as we come back to Luke chapter 24, on Friday, we ended up with Christ dying on the cross, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it is at that moment that he became sin for us. Correct? If you were here Friday, that's what I said. Now, after that, we have a man named Joseph. It goes back to Luke chapter 23 and verse 51. The same had not consented to the council indeed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. So this was a genuine follower of Christ who was a part of the Sanhedrin, or Sanhedrin, however you want to explain that. But he, it just goes to show you that there was not a unanimous consensus to crucify Christ. Says he wasn't. He didn't take counsel with them. Okay? They had some dissension. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down. Notice that he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in a stone where never man before was laid. If you want a little bit of trivia, most people that were crucified, they just took them down, but they threw them in ditches alongside of the road, and that became fair game for the birds and the animals in the area. So I'll tell you what, when you think about it, it just wasn't a very nice scene, right? Probably not a place that you really wanted to visit. But anyways, Jesus' body was taken down. And we'll see that, and the day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. Okay? And then the next verse says this, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So, okay, this was happening on Friday. They go to the sepulcher. They see where he's laid. They go back. They're preparing the spices. The Bible in other places also says that Nicodemus showed up with some spices too for the ointment. So they rested on the Sabbath, and now where we are reading is first day of the week. It is Sunday. And so they rested on their Sabbath, so now it's Sunday. It's very early in the morning. They go to the tomb, and what happens? Well, verse 24 and verse 1 says that they came and they were bringing the spices. They were going to finish the preparation for the burial. Now, burial in that time was very different than it is today. It is interesting because a lot of times I don't want to crush your hopes on any type of way that you want to do your funeral or not ever. People say, "Well, the Christian way is the way we do it." No, we don't do it. That's not the Christian way. We do more in the way that they did in Egypt. They embalmed, okay? Now, I know this is really morbid. What in the world are we talking about this for on it? It's supposed to be. But I want you to realize this. When they brought the spices, they weren't embalming him. They were putting spices on, because you know what happens when a person dies and their body begins to decompose? What happens? Woo! And that's what the spices are for. It takes away, it covers that up a little bit. Sort of like fellas, when they get up in the morning, put a little deodorant on. That's so people don't know that we're rotten all day today, right? Right? You got that? Of course, ladies hide it by just putting lotion on. They go, "Oh, don't I smell nice?" Oh, yeah. But anyways, so they come and they were doing this. And they found this. They found, and now what happened now is they found that the stone was rolled away. And that's interesting, because that was quite a big feat. And now notice the reaction. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass as they were much perplexed. Okay? So the first one is this. If you're keeping notes, number one would be this: the day unfolds. Just that simple. The day unfolds. And as the day unfolds, we're going to look at these different people. A would be the women are perplexed. Okay? Now remember, this is going to be a before and after. This is going to be a before and after. So before, they were perplexed. And it's just like, and take into mind everything that happened. Everything that happened, their whole life was turned upside down. This man that they were following, that they claimed to be the anointed of God, because that's what Christ means, anointed of God. And now he's dead. That's the worst thing that could happen. Okay? And now they show up, and now he's not there, so they're perplexed. And of course, we see that the angels are there in shining garments. Now, not only were they perplexed, they were afraid. Now, they were afraid because they saw the two men in shining garments, okay? Which I'm going to admit, I would be too. I get up in the middle of the night, and I go downstairs, and there's two guys in the room, and they're in shining garments. You know what? I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to grab a 9mm and shoot at them, because I'm going to be too scared. I'm going to fall down. I'm going to say, "Whoa." Because did you ever notice this? Whenever a child is very little, a lot of times you teach him to close their eyes, and you think you're hiding. You know, and then they'll do that in the room, and they'll say, "Hide." And they say, "Oh, I can't see you." Don't you do that sometimes, too? It's just like something's going on, you don't want to see it. Okay, what does that do? Takes me out of the picture, right? I just vanished. So, you know, if you ever see me in my office, got my eyes closed, I'm not sleeping. I'm just hiding from you. But, you know, they were afraid. And they prayed, bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Now, notice this next word in verse 6. He is not here, but he is risen. Here's a very important word in all the dialogues. And if you want to circle that word, I think it's absolutely incredible. Remember. Remember. Every person is called upon to remember. And what are they called upon to remember? Well, remember, now look what it says. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, now here's what they were supposed to remember: the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now, here's the amazing thing. I am sure that when he told them that, that they understood about being delivered into the hands of sinful men, right? I am sure that they understood the aspect that he could be crucified, right? Because that was an everyday occurrence or a regular occurrence in the life of the people of that time, okay? You had people that were causing problems. The soldiers showed up, the magistrates showed up, and even the chief priests and them showed up. They could do it too. The only thing the chief priest couldn't do is sentence someone to death, but they could arrest people. Now watch this. But they didn't have any clue what it meant. Well, I'm going to rise again the third day. They had no clue. To them, that was just like, as a matter of fact, we're going to look at another passage where they were thinking about it, and I love this part. They were afraid to ask Jesus. It's just like, will you ask him? Well, I'm not asking him. Will you ask him? It's just like, isn't that something? Have you ever been afraid to ask something? See, sometimes it's like this. Sometimes people come to preachers, they're afraid to ask stuff. Because you know what we do? We just tie people in closets and beat them to death for asking questions. You know, that's what we do. Everybody knows that. That's just common knowledge. But a lot of times what we are, we're afraid to ask questions. Well, they were afraid to ask the question. Well, what does this mean? And it wasn't until it happened that they got it. And when they got it, they got it. And I'm going way to the end, and it changed their life. But anyways, B is this. If we go to, in verse 12, then Peter arose and ran into the sepulcher. Now, why did Peter decide to come to the sepulcher? Well, you know, as we read the two accounts, it was very early in the morning, and I'm sure he was down at Java Joe's having his coffee. I'm sure that's what he was. No, it was after the ladies went back. Notice what they said. And they remembered his words and returned unto the sepulcher, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these unto the 11 and to all the rest. And so they went back to a group of people and they knew where they were. See, that might have been the first sunrise service, but they didn't know it was a sunrise service. But they were all together. And then what was their reaction? Now, let me ask you something, ladies. If you would have been involved in this and you would have went back, and if they would have told you, and their words seemed to be as idle tales and they believed them not, would that have made you happy? You know what you would have done? You would have said, you don't know nothing. Right? That's what you just said. As a matter of fact, you got all bent out of shape. I would have too. But Peter ran. Now, the other account says that Peter and John both ran, right? And it's interesting because, now, if you can picture Peter was a fisherman, right? And I think John was a fisherman. But Peter must have been a little more out of shape because John beat him there. I think that's just, I love that. I love that aspect. And so John, now watch this. Peter is more adventurous than John. Because John got there and he looked in. He wasn't going in. Well, that's a grave. I'm not going in there. I see. Do you see all that in this passage? I see it. And so Peter gets in. He walks right in. And then, of course, then John says, well, if he's going in, I'm going in. And Peter looks in and he wonders. That's what it says, right? So number two is this, is Peter wonders. The women are perplexed and they're called upon to remember. Peter wonders. John arrives first, Peter asks. Now watch this. C is this. John believes. That's interesting. Peter didn't believe yet. Peter didn't believe yet. John did. John believed it. Said, okay. He is the first one to get it, that Christ is risen. Now, it doesn't do a whole lot for that moment, but he believes. And so I would say this, that at that moment, he had joy in his heart. He had hope. But because you know what? He was ready now to see it. And when Jesus appears, he knows that's what's going to be. Now, Thomas is the last one to come to the table, right? Thomas is the guy, I don't know what he was doing. He probably had a job working at 7-Eleven, right? And he couldn't make it for any of this stuff because they didn't close down on Easter Sunday. Because this is Easter Sunday, right? You got it? This is way too early for all this little humor I'm throwing in. But, and then I want you to look at this. I want you to go to the passage now in John, and that's why I had you wanted to combine them all together here this morning, because there's something that ties the beginning together in this point number one, the day unfolds. D is this: they didn't know. And what didn't they know? In verse 9 of John chapter 20, after all these things that just took place in this separate account, this other account, okay, of Peter being the short, fat guy, not quite getting there at the same time, John being the tall, lanky guy that was the runner, Peter going in, and John believing, the ladies perplexed, going back, explaining to everybody. They're all saying, oh, you guys, you ladies, you know what? You're dreaming. You're all having a dream. And verse 9 says, for as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Isn't that interesting? Now, as you combine these accounts, it makes sense, doesn't it? So here is a band of people tied together by this one person, Jesus. He's dead, and you know what? They didn't disband, but they were just about ready to. And here they were going through trying to make sense of everything, and what made sense to them is they honored him in their life. They were going to honor him in his death. Right? They were not going to allow him to be taken down and thrown alongside the road and some animal to drag his carcass off. Right? And they were going to do it right. Whatever that meant, they were going to do it right. And they were in the process of doing it right. And they found out that, and as this verse here says, let me read it again. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't know it. Now, why didn't they know it? Well, let's go to number two on your sheet. Not on my sheet. It might be on your sheet by the time you're done. People are still reacting much as they did at the tomb. I think anytime we talk about the resurrection of Christ, we have a before and after. We have then and we have now, don't we? I know it's very simple, but our world has not changed a whole lot. I was thinking the other day. You know, you listen to stuff on television. It's a lot of fun sometimes just to listen to television. When we were kids growing up, see, I can say that now because I was a kid and I'm all grown up. Now, I don't act like it, but I mean, I'm 6'2", and you know, all the whole thing. But when we were kids growing up, and when something, when everybody was doing something, that was just called whatever is popular right now, right? Isn't that the words we use? Come on now, you oldsters, right? Now today, it's what's trending. Let's see what's trending today. You know what, for you young people, you know what that means? What's popular. That's all that is. And people, and a lot of times, us, see, I'm getting to be a Q-tip, okay? My hair is getting gray or white. One of these days, I'll be a full Q-tip, okay? Then one of these days, the tip will come off the end of the Q-tip. Then I'll just be there, right? And it'll be just like, whoa, there's nothing there. Yeah, that's what that is. That's what happens when it gets in your ear and you pull it out and it's still there. So, all that means is what's popular. And we're afraid sometimes as adults and we say, oh, I'll tell you, our world is changing at such a fast pace. Well, we got a couple more things to distract us. But people's always had stuff to distract them, didn't they? In life, growing up. And we say, well, we got more. I don't know. Years ago, little boys seemed to enjoy fishing a whole lot more than they did barn work. Right? Out in the field, they'd take that fishing rod with them. They could spend hours fishing to get in trouble. Why? How do you know? Because you can read those stories, right? See, the world has not changed hardly at all. We might think it has. We get phones anymore that aren't phones. They're just computers with a phone app on. And, you know, we talk about that. But you know, here's the thing. I can remember my sister. I hope she listens to this on the Internet. It'd be wonderful if she did. Because she used to race home from school so that she could get on the phone before the neighbor lady, whose name was Dora, got on the phone and tied up the party line. So it was a race to see who got on the phone. Now we don't have that. Everybody has a private number, right? And believe me, we pay for that, okay? Yeah, that's not free. But you do realize the world has not changed hardly a bit. And sometimes, if you get too many people on the phone, it still tells you circuits are busy, call back later, right? I hate those messages. But anyways, the world, and I said all that to say this, our world has not changed much. People are still reacting much as they did at the tomb. There's people, and as we live our lives, and as we witness to people, they are perplexed. The conversation about Jesus is a conversation that's taking place in our world today. It is all around us. Sometimes I think I got saved when I was 19 and began and entered into that conversation about Jesus. But isn't the conversation taking place today? There are still those who are wondering, just like the ladies did at the tomb, or they're perplexed. They know Jesus to be a great teacher. That's what Nicodemus said. The ladies were perplexed and questioned where the authorities had taken his body. They were perplexed. Our world today is perplexed. People will not deny the existence that Jesus lived. It's a put forth in Christianity, but it's a secular history that proclaims it. And I was reading some of that this week. It's absolutely incredible. But now, that would be A, they are perplexed. B, they are wondering. As Peter was presented with the dialogue a few days earlier, he now wonders what has happened. He's denied the Lord and wept bitterly. The world wonders. They believe in a higher power. They're trying to put it all together. I can remember this. Now, I'm going to tell you about Dave Dressler a little bit. When I was a little boy, I can't tell you a time in my life where I did not believe in God. And you say, so then you're all messed up. Oh, no. Because I was raised in America. I was raised in a Christian nation. I was raised where, even though my parents, they went to church on Christmas and Easter, and I would go. Occasionally, I would get dressed and go to Sunday school. Why? Because it was a church. So I can't ever say in my life where I never was a time in my life where I didn't believe in God. It's just... It was a wonder. And then I met the Lord. I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I was convicted of my sin. My eyes were opened. I believed. I knew that Jesus was who He said He was. Amen? He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. Now He's my Savior. And that made all the difference in the world because He is alive. Amen? And when I began to go to church and sing all these songs, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, we have this great body of material around us. So the world out there is wondering. And you know what? People wonder what you believe. They wonder what I believe. And sometimes it's very interesting. Sometimes as relationships develop in our lives with neighbors and friends and coworkers, we have the opportunity to simply explain to them who Jesus is. Who is Jesus to you? Isn't that wonderful? They wondered. Now notice this. The reason that they were perplexed, the reason that they were wondered, because they did not yet know the Scripture that He was risen, that He would rise. Amen? It was something they didn't know. And so, see now, this should be coffee this morning. And then C is this, John believed. That we already said that, right? But this people are still reacting much as they did at the tomb. Some come away believing, realizing Jesus to be God. Not just a higher power, not just a great teacher, but God who gave Himself for us and conquered death. Isn't that wonderful? That's what they do. That happens all the time. You know, we might think because people don't walk the aisle or we don't proclaim that people get saved every week that, well, you know, there's really not a lot of people getting saved. Did you realize this? There are people all around the world every day coming to genuine faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? That is absolutely astounding. Why? Well, we have that on the first day of the week, going to the tomb. Some are perplexed. Some are wondering. Some are believing. And that's great. You know why you're here today? Probably because you believe. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? You're here because you want to hear the message about a risen Savior. You want to sing about a risen Savior. Why, you even want to encourage others about this risen Savior that we have. Hallelujah! Amen? Isn't that great? We even get excited at 8:45 in the morning with only one cup of coffee under our belt. Yes, hallelujah! Well, it was those three Prozacs I took. Or those 2 5-hour energies that I drank, right? No, I didn't do any of that stuff. But here's the thing. Then number three is this. As we go down through this, the day unfolds. People are still reacting much as they did at the tomb. And then three is this. Jesus had foretold his resurrection. Now here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go to a couple quick scriptures here. We got enough time to do this. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now we're not necessarily going to be looking at, resurrection passages now. Okay? We're going to be looking at Jesus in ministry passages. Jesus as he's talking to his disciples before the whole, before what we call the whole thing fell apart. And so Matthew chapter 16, and when you're there, go to verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now look at verse 22. Here's Peter's reaction again. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Isn't that something? That's incredible. Another one, Mark chapter 8. Notice this, as you're turning to Mark chapter 8, the women did remember the words, or they were admonished to remember the words, right? John's account says they did not remember, or they did not know the scripture. You know what that tells me? Even when Jesus was talking, they weren't listening. Did you ever do this? You ever have a hard time listening? You're in a good crowd of people. He said, Did you hear what the pastor said? Then I heard R.C. Sproul one time gave a message. I hope I get this right because I end up goofing this up, but you'll get the gist of it. Because, you know, he preaches a lot and then he teaches in a seminary. And so he said there's always what was actually said, right? There's what people hear and then there's what they think they hear. Okay? You do realize that. That always takes place all the time. Okay? He was challenged in class. They said, Well, why did you say those words? And he said, Well, I didn't say those words. And half the class said, Oh, yes, you did say those words. So what it was tape. They backed it up. He never even said the words. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even a thought. See, there's what is actually said, what is heard, and what people think they hear. Amen? That happened when Jesus was, right? So they weren't even listening to him. Because you know what you'd say? If Jesus was my pastor, I would listen to him. Right? Now, come on now, amen? I don't know. So, let's go to Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Okay? And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Notice that phrase, and after 3 days, rise again. He was telling them that. He told them that. Now, see, I underlined that in my notes, In Matthew 16:21, that's how the verse ended, and he be raised again the third day. Mark 8:31, and after 3 days, rise again. Let's look at Mark now. Right, or now you don't have to turn very far, because I feel for you right now, because you're really tired. Chapter 9 and verse 31. Look what it says again. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. There's that is again, right? That same theme. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's just go to Luke chapter 9. He said, I never went to an early service that we went in the Bible so much. Yeah, when we use the Bible, that just really puts a damper on our messages, you know? Got to watch that. I had a family came to Bakerburg years ago, and I went down and visited them, and they said, I said, well, why did you come to Bakerburg? He said, well, our pastor just wouldn't use the Bible when he preaches. Oh, okay. I wonder how you could preach without using the Bible. Maybe that's a class I ought to take. Okay, Mark 9, I'm going to get in trouble here. Luke 9:22. Saying, the Son of Man, verse 21. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the scribes, of the elders, and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised again the third day. So, number three is this. Jesus had foretold his resurrection, A, but they would not accept it. I already read the passage of Matthew. Peter takes Jesus. I can see him taking Jesus by the shoulder and say, it is not so. You're supposed to be here. You're the guy. I already said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't leave us now. Right? And then B is this. The resurrection of Christ proves his deity. This is what proves his deity. He could say all along who he was. There were many people in his day who claimed to be someone great to follow, and as soon as they were either imprisoned or put to death, they fell apart. Here was a case where Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God. He was imprisoned, he was tried, he was put to death, and he lives. And today we're proclaiming that message. And today, and people today are reacting much the same way. Some are perplexed, some are wondering, still others are believing. Then number four is this. The resurrection of Christ had changed their life. He was alive and they understood he is God. And you say, well, how do you say that? Well, Peter and the disciples did get the message and they got it loud and clear. We go down the road about 50 days into the future, and we see Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. He explains Psalm 16:10, and he proclaims Christ. And at that day, the Bible says 3,000 people got saved. That's the beginning of the church. Well, what happened? Now listen to this. It's not 50 years. It's not 3 years. He didn't go 4 years to seminary. He went 50 days. What? Because Christ did rise from the dead. When Jesus first met with them, they were in a room with the doors locked because they were scared. Now they're standing out in public. And now they're saying, this Jesus whom you crucified. That's power, is it not? For a guy that walked in the tomb, and I picture, I know I may be wrong, I'm going to get to heaven, and he's going to be waiting there at the gate, and Peter's going to say, you called me short and fat? I am not. But I picture a short, fat guy looking in the tomb. I look at this tall guy, John, said, you went first, I'm scared. Peter walks in, he says, and he leaves. Right? Isn't that what it says? And John looks in and believes. And from that moment, when they met Jesus, their life was transformed. And you know what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is still transforming lives I trust your life has been transformed. I trust that you're not as the ladies that were perplexed, or as the group that they came back to and said, you know, he's not there, and there might be something to this. And then you say, oh, that's just wives' tales. See, my wife, I love my wife. She's wonderful. She is so good for me. See, there's some days I just get out of shape. Do you ever just get out of shape? Huh? Maybe you guys never do. I do. I get to complaining, and I get to gruxing, and I get to griping, right? And she'll say to me, honey, what is the matter with you? And it's almost like she knows where the reset button is, and then I'm better. Amen? Because she's pointing out to me that I'm not living by faith, right? I'm living by sight at that moment. Come on now. Amen? And so these ladies come back, and they're going, oh, I think this one of them. One of them ladies should have said, what's the matter with you guys? Right? And they would have went, you're right. But we have, reading the book of Acts is an example to us of what happens in people's lives when they see the resurrection for the power that it is, and the power that it is for our everyday living. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it is. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And it's all about, are you and I, we are confronted with the same reactions that took place at the tomb that day. How will you and I live? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the resurrection of Christ. I thank you, Lord, that it is what it is. I thank you, Lord, that man had nothing in it. I thank you, Lord, that it's not an idle tale. I thank you, Lord, that it is fact. And the fact is proved over and over and over in the changed lives that are taking place even today. So speak to our hearts, Father, of these wonderful facts today. Encourage us. Help us that we might be a bright and shining light because Jesus lives. That we might be full of hope because Jesus lives. Now speak to our hearts as we consider our lives before you, Father. Help us to find ourselves and put a dot of where we are and where you want us to be. Now, if your head's bowed and your eyes closed, very simple invitation today. I would be remiss not to invite you today to receive Christ as your Savior if you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. He is alive, and He changes lives today. If you don't know Christ, you see me today after the service. And then, Christian, are you discouraged today? We have no reason to be discouraged, not one ever. You say, but you don't understand. I understand. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what they say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. That's my Savior. I trust He's yours.